Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fancy.
Oh, okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not.
Wait.
Yeah,
that's true. You do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it.
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy. Okay. Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs on the sauce with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a lie about a motor. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him, I never traded him. And if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Go take a large, so many more. 10 in the morning, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the morning, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cuties can be, you can watch on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody! Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQM. What a normal season for the Heat, huh? Do you think Eric Spoelstra just, like, wakes up this morning after a hard-fought game and just, like, turns over at the pillow and just screams?
I'm having a hard time believing that nobody knew what was coming.
You want to throw to it, Brittany? Do we got it? Do you think we can get the audio on this? Will that work with our stream as well?
We're just taking questions on the two indictments here today.
Ooh, Damon Jones.
The indictments are unsealed.
It's courtesy right now, of WPLG. Thank you for them letting us use their stream.
It looks like most of them are gone now, but there were copies of the indictments and the detention letter on that table. And I'm going to email them out to everyone on our media list as well. You will see that in the detention letter, which is the organized crime.
Okay, this is going to be a lengthy press conference. We're going to be tuning in.
All right, so let me, Brittany, keep your eye on that. Let me know when the director comes up. So for those who are just following today, and we'll start off with our headlines brought to us by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit Doral Kia, DoralKia.com. Terry Rozier was arrested last night after the Miami Heat's game in Orlando. And this is in connection with the federal gambling probe.
That he was cleared on?
Yeah, that Shams said he was cleared on 4 months ago, which, yeah, he's really had an A-plus summer, Shams.
He wasn't acting like he was cleared.
No. Yeah, well, it was he apparently was arrested yesterday, and this is in conjunction with multiple NBA personalities. The biggest name of it, honestly, is
Chauncey Billups,
Portland Trailblazers coach. We're getting a lot of details on this as far as it all flies in. Chauncey Billups is reportedly, allegedly, was involved in illegal poker games that had ties to the mafia. And also there was former Heat guard and current assistant was an assistant coach, Damon Jones. And Damon Jones was also in part of this as well. So we're going to send it over to the press conference with Kash Patel, who I believe is going to announce the indictments and what this all means. We'll get into what this means for the Miami Heat, because obviously this has been something that's kind of been lingering. And Terry Rozier had a very odd, odd Heat career where he joined Miami on a trade where the Heat flipped Kyle Lowry and a first-round pick for him desperately to bring in some offense for a team. And then he had like two good games, and then all of a sudden his
neck
first season just ended mysteriously with a neck injury that nobody could really explain. And then he came back and quite literally was the worst player in the NBA the next year for a guy who was a 20-point scorer, made no sense whatsoever. You could look at some of those games that he was having, and people have drawn their own conclusions as to how fishy they looked. But, yeah. So, what are we looking at right now, Brittany? Are they have they started yakking on it yet? Have we gotten to it? Should I throw
the
audio?
So, the first guy just left the podium, and I'm assuming they're waiting for Cash Patel as we speak. All but right. Nobody's at the podium right now.
All right. Yeah, we it's national news right now. We got a
hype man?
CNN, Fox News are talking about it. Not ESPN though. They're talking about Wembanyama last night. He was awesome. In fairness,
he was awesome.
Did you see what he did to AD? He's never looked that small in his life.
I know.
It's crazy.
And slow.
It's crazy.
He's 7'5", and he had AD looking like he was average.
This is crazy.
So, what? I think it's not gambling on basketball, which what everybody thought it was.
Chauncey's. Terry Rozier's, we believe, is in link to...
No, but they're getting arrested on this poker thing.
Not all of them, no.
No, really?
No. This is a massive gambling thing. What you're saying is in regards to Chauncey Billups. They're saying his did not involve games, though there may be some things with Damon Jones that is being alleged. A lot of stuff flying in that are saying he may be in tipping inside information and things like that. Terry Rozier's thing goes back to 2023, where he suspiciously left a game with the Hornets. There was a lot of unders being placed on him. Remember, we talked about this in July.
Mm-hmm.
There was an ESPN report that said, I believe it was a Mississippi Sports. They didn't want to pay. The Sports Gaming Commission eventually came back and said, even on the day that it happened, how suspicious it was. And they ended up paying because they couldn't prove anything. But this went to an NBA investigation. They cleared Terry Rozier while he was on the Hornets.
Right.
And then last January, we come back, and the FBI is like, we're investigating Terry Rozier as part of the same gambling probe that took down Jontay Porter, who I don't know if he's an informant on this or what, or how he's gotten more information on this. Malik Beasley, of course, was also part of this. So, yeah, no, this is I don't know. I guess we'll find out from the press conference. But, no, I'm assuming Terry Rozier is involved with manipulating game results.
Yikes.
Yikes, dude. Yeah, yikes.
Dude, I always thought, and if this is accurate, I am 100% wrong. I always thought that it would be difficult to get somebody involved in this because of the amount of money that they make, right? Even in gambling, you can't, there's not a way for you to bet enough money to make money without, you know, and risk the amount of money that you earn doing that job. I don't know how I was wrong on this. I absolutely thought there was no way they could get players to do this because of the amounts of money. Because keep in mind, if you make, say you make $5 million a year, any amount of money that you would make to kind of add to that is going to throw up a red flag, right?
But you want to know something, dude? We don't know what kind of seedy people
people
get involved with. It may not just be a money thing. Maybe they got information. Maybe they got something that he feels like he's
got
to make good on.
No, I got
you. We don't know. You don't know why people get involved in the things they do.
I just thought.
Hey, does the mafia seem reasonable?
No.
No.
No, I'm not.
Why would Chauncey Billups, of course, like, why would somebody in that regard need to do something? But I don't know. It's crazy things. Yeah, that's why, like, when the Jontay Porter thing, it's like, oh, that's a 10-day player, you know? Like, it seems on its face like that's where it makes sense. But for, you know, for somebody like Terry Rozier, who's making $26 million a year, well, maybe not this year, but...
You see what I'm saying? Like, that is just, like, what...
Well, let me ask you this, dude. Hmm. What do you think? What do you think makes sense for? Again, this is all alleged, whatnot. But let's just use our eyes. We've all seen Terry Rozier play basketball. What the hell was last year? Are we to assume that it was all over? If he felt like he got away with it last year or 2 years ago when he was cleared, we're assuming that's to be the end? Terry Rozier just all of a sudden became an unplayable basketball player.
Right.
Like, that's normal?
I don't know. Maybe the weight of all that crap on him.
Maybe. Maybe the weight of it. I don't know. Maybe they were still hooking him. Who knows?
Right. But it sucks. So what happens in situations like this is now we go back and look at all the bad games.
Oh, man. And there's, you know what there's I mean?
There's a bunch. Holy smokes. I wonder if Charlotte knew and we should lemon law him.
That is an interesting question. I don't know. See, that's the one thing is, like, people are going to talk about the Heat salary implications and all this.
But keep in mind, you're innocent until proven guilty. Being charged with something is not being convicted of something. So until he's convicted, right, how can you – that money's still going to count. He's still going to get paid.
They can,
unless they give him a leave of absence.
Barry Jackson said that the NBA could rule him ineligible whenever they want. Now, it would be weird.
That money doesn't
Well, if you're rule ineligible, it would come off your books. I don't know what it means for him getting paid, but but the Heat could get relief, like, as soon as the NBA made a ruling. Is he going to the podium now? All right, let's send it over to WPLG's feed to Cash
Today
Patel.
We're here in New York to announce a historic arrest across a wide-sweeping criminal enterprise that envelops both the NBA and La Casa Nostra. The men and women up here standing with me represent a small portion of the leadership team that brought profound justice in an era that needed it more than any. I'll just highlight some of the details in the case and the FBI work, and then you'll hear from the others. But as you now know, individuals such as Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, and Terry Rozier were taken into custody today, former, current NBA players and coaches. What you don't know is that this is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spanned the course of years. The FBI led a coordinated takedown across 11 states to arrest over 30 individuals today responsible for this committed on the grand stage of the NBA. But we also entered and executed a system of justice against La Casa Nostra to include the Bonanno, Gambino, Genovese, and Lucchesi crime families. And you'll hear more about those details today. The charges and the arrests that were taken down across this country range from wire fraud, money laundering, extortion, robbery, illegal gambling. This FBI will leave no room for any perpetrator of crime across this country. You hear a lot about our work of defending the homeland and crushing violent crime. Well, this work is also representative of a colossal portion of the FBI's mandate to keep America safe and to keep our entertainment industry fair and secure. The men and women that are standing up here today worked tireless hours, days, months, and years. And the fraud is mind-boggling. It's not hundreds of dollars. It's not thousands of dollars. It's not tens of thousands of dollars. It's not even millions of dollars. We're talking about tens of millions of dollars in fraud and theft and robbery across a multi-year investigation. And we could not have done it without our interagency partners that are before us today. The NYPD, HSI, and teams of law enforcement officials from around the country made this day possible. It takes a team to bring this kind of justice, sweeping justice, into the halls of the United States courtrooms, where our brave United States attorney has led this prosecution. It takes courageous prosecutors to stand before you and say, we will not allow this kind of illicit activity to happen, not only at the national sporting level, but also where it hides in La Casa Nostra. And when these two collided together, they perpetrated a fraud that is historic in terms of not just money, but the scheme and the deceit that they utilize to steal and swindle people from money, to include crypto fraud. This is an operation that showcases to you that under President Trump's administration, there is no room for any type of criminal behavior, be it on the world's largest stage or in the back rooms of tiny parlors where guard games are being played. We are proud to stand here today with the men and women of the FBI and this legal team. And to the United States Attorney, I just want to thank you personally for taking the time to display the work that the media is about to hear about today in detail. As I said, it does take courageous prosecutors, but it takes a courageous United States Attorney to bring this case, because we are going to take heat for it. But we don't shy away in this administration. We don't say no. What we do is we bring the results across the finish line. We bring them to the public. We bring you accountability. And yes, they will have their day in court, and you will hear the evidence through the court system exclusively. We will not deny anyone of due process. And that's the brilliance of this system. That's the brilliance of this administration. Everyone will be held to account. So with that, I turn it over to United States Attorney Nocella. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Patel. To be clear, we're announcing today indictments in two major cases, both involving fraud. One involves sports betting, and the other involves illegal gambling, very specifically rigged poker games. The first indictment involves six defendants who are alleged to have participated in one of the most brazen sports corruption schemes since online sports betting became widely legalized in the United States. This scheme is an insider sports betting conspiracy that exploited confidential information about National Basketball Association athletes and teams. The second indictment involves 31 defendants alleged to have participated in a nationwide scheme to rig illegal poker games. These defendants, which include former professional athletes, used high-tech cheating technology to steal millions of dollars from victims in underground poker games that were secretly fixed. The games in the New York area were backed by the Bonanno, Gambino, and Genovese crime families of La Cosa Nostra. While the cases are separate, there are three overlapping defendants charged in both cases: Damon Jones, Eric Ernest, and Shane Hennin. The indictments in these cases contain only allegations, and the defendants are presumed innocent until they are proven guilty in a court of law. But my message to the defendants who've been rounded up today is this: your winning streak has ended. Your luck has run out. Violating the law is a losing proposition, and you can bet on that. First, I would like to talk about United States versus Ernest, the NBA basketball gambling case. The defendants in this case are Eric Ernest, Marvez Farley, Shane Hennin, De Niro Laster, Damon Jones, a former NBA player and coach, and Terry Rozier, a current NBA player. Other co-conspirators were previously charged for their roles in the scheme, including former NBA player Jonte Porter. Between December 2022 and March 2024, these defendants perpetrated a scheme to defraud by betting on inside, non-public information about NBA athletes and teams. The non-public information included when specific players would be sitting out future games, or when they would pull themselves out early for purported injuries or illnesses. They relied on corrupt individuals, including Jones and Rozier. They also misused information obtained through longstanding friendships that they had with NBA players and coaches. And in at least one instance, they got their information by threatening a current player, Porter, because of his pre-existing gambling debts. Defendants used this non-public information to place hundreds of thousands of dollars in fraudulent bets, mostly in the form of prop bets on individual player performance. The bets were placed through online sports books and also in person at casinos. The defendants relied on a network of straw bettors to place the maximum amount of bets to increase their potential profits. Most of these bets succeeded, and the intended losses were in the millions of dollars. The defendants then laundered their illegal winnings in various ways: peer-to-peer platforms, bank wires, and simple cash exchanges. The indictment details specific examples where the defendants profited from illegal gambling and illegal betting on various NBA games, about the performance of players on, among other things, the Charlotte Hornets, the Portland Trail Blazers, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Toronto Rangers. Each defendant in the NBA basketball gambling case has been charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud and conspiracy to commit money laundering. Now, I would like to turn to the other case, United States versus Aiello, the rigged poker game case. Beginning as early as 2019, the defendants in this case orchestrated a scheme to use wireless cheating technology to run rigged poker games across the United States, including in the Hamptons, Las Vegas, Miami, and Manhattan. The scheme targeted victims known as, quote, fish, who were often lured to participate in these rigged games by the chance to play alongside former professional athletes who were known as, quote, face cards. The so-called face cards included the defendant Chauncey Billups, who at the time of the scheme was a former NBA player and is currently the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, and also Damon Jones, a former NBA player and coach. What the victims, the fish, didn't know is that everybody else at the poker game, from the dealer to the players, including the face cards, were in on the scam. Once the game was underway, the defendants fleeced the victims out of tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars per game. The defendants used a variety of very sophisticated cheating technologies, some of which were provided by other defendants in exchange for a share of the profits from the scheme. For example, they used off-the-shelf shuffling machines that had been secretly altered in order to read the cards in the deck, predict which player at the table had the best poker hand, and relay that information to an off-site operator. The off-site operator sent the information via cell phone back to a co-conspirator at the table.
All right, Brittany, I think we're going to cut in from there.
That person.
That was Joseph Nasella Jr., the U.S. Attorney of the Eastern District of New York.
Yikes.
Yikes, dude. All
like,
right.
Like, what we thought. What we thought. I mean,
that's yikes. That's
like, we've got a Godfather situation going
dude,
here.
Dude, this is crazy.
Like, not just one. All the crime families.
All of them.
All of them.
All right. We're going to take a break. We got to get set on the commercials and whatnot. But we'll get our whole reaction to this. And obviously, you heard there, Terry Rozier among six defendants in an indictment there for sports gambling that spanned millions of dollars in losses. He, along with Damon Jones and other individuals, allegedly involved in all of this. So we'll get a reaction to all this and follow along here for the next few hours. Back with more on Tobin and Leroy after this.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Want to let you guys know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members, Rush just announced their 50-something tour, and we've got your chance, you and a guest, to win a flyaway to see them at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Prizes include tickets to the show, round-trip airfare, and a two-night hotel stay. To enter, go to WQAM.com. This is a national contest. Haven't even gotten into the Heat's opener last night. I want to. It was a crazy game. Really good game, and then a very familiar ending.
Right.
So we'll get into that in just a second. But obviously, the news today, Terry Rozier was arrested today in Orlando. According to Tim Reynolds, he is going to appear in federal court in Orlando today. The Heat had no idea that this was coming. He wasn't, like, he didn't not play yesterday because they knew.
He didn't not play because he hasn't been playing.
He's just not in the rotation.
Crap. Right.
Yeah. I was reading in Ira Winderman's column today about this when this first came out, and he said, the uncertainty over Rozier's status reached the point that Rozier appeared confused when told during an interview Sunday that he had been cleared to return from his preseason hamstring injury, with Rozier initially believing the word cleared was being used in regard to the federal investigation.
So this is super interesting because I have this potted up in here for me to hear. And mm-hmm. the lady that's speaking is, you know, that infamous game in 2023 that he played with Charlotte, that he left the game early.
This Jessica Tisch, the New York City commissioner. What is she saying?
She's saying that was one of the main things that happened, was that he told people close to him that he was going to leave the game early. And they placed like hundreds of thousands of dollars of bets on his unders, and they got it all. And then the proceeds, like all of their winnings, went to his like residence. Yeah. He told them that he was going to like get out of the game early.
Well, that's here's the other thing that's crazy about it. So he didn't play the rest of the year. So like if he was going to pull this off and it's like, well, you know, the season was over for the Hornets like in 2023. Mind you, this the investigation, we listened to the Cash Patel and the district attorney's whole thing. This didn't involve anything with the Heat as far as, like, games with the Heat, although you could look at some of his play and be like, raise an eyebrow at
now,
it for sure.
That's the whole problem with the sports betting thing and athletes mm-hmm. involved in it, is that now we can't look at any bad game or any circumstance and not think
Something's up.
And that's the one thing they're trying to get away from or avoid.
In the game that he was investigated for by the league when this happened, and ESPN did a report on this summer, that there were all these bets that went into this casino, like dozens of them. And they didn't want to pay officially because it was like, it seemed very fishy. But they also said in the indictment that there were also online bets went on this as well. So, yeah, not great. I will say, to give the other side of this, Terry Rozier's lawyer has given a statement. This is what he says, quote, we have represented Terry Rozier for over a year. A long time ago, we reached out to these prosecutors to tell them that we should have an open line of communication. They characterized Terry Rozier as a subject, not a target. But at 6 a.m. this morning, they called to tell me FBI agents were trying to arrest him in a hotel. It is unfortunate that instead of allowing him to self-surrender, they opted for a photo op. They wanted the misplaced glory of embarrassing a professional athlete with the perp walk. That tells you a lot about the motivations in this case. They appear to be taking the word of spectacularly incredible sources rather than relying on actual evidence of wrongdoing. Terry was cleared by the NBA, and these prosecutors revived that non-case. Terry is not a gambler, but he is not afraid of a fight, and he looks forward to winning this fight. And that is Jim Trusty, Terry Rozier's attorney.
It's unfortunate. Here's the shady part of what goes on, is that they'll question you and they tell you one thing and, you know, you're given answers or whatever have you. And again, there's a difference in being questioned and then being a suspect. And they gave no indication at any point in time that he was a suspect. Then turn around and get arrested. I don't know if they found out additional information, found out he wasn't being, you know, truthful in his statements. Don't know what the issue was. But they kind of maybe gave him that false sense of security on purpose. Right? I don't know. I just know that from what we were hearing from his lawyer and him, they had a conversation. They said, hey, if you have any more questions, you could come to us. We'll answer them. Next thing you know, he's arrested. So it must have been something they found out or some information they got as they kept, you know, investigating that, oh, no, we were interviewing him as, you know, a person with information or a person of interest to now a suspect.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And if it, and if this whole thing is to, you know, manipulate lines and
big
betting,
no-no.
It's a big no-no.
Big no-no in sports.
So, I don't know, man. It's obviously an awful situation. And then for the Heat standpoint, you know, you got to think for the – here's the other thing, too. I feel, you know, it's sad for Terry. Terry's, you know, got to deal with all this now. But then you also think about the team. Like, that's a messed up situation, dude. Mm-hmm. You're with Terry. A lot of these guys are close to Terry on the team. And you just saw one of your teammates get taken away in handcuffs and it's plastered all over. Like I said, this is like I got to feel like Eric Spoelstra had to be screaming into his pillow when this happened, because it's like he just was. What were they hoping for more than anything
right.
this year? Just a normal year,
right?
And I know this didn't happen with the Heat, but now it is currently affecting the Heat and the people in that organization. And that's a crazy thing that you got to deal with.
Here's what's unfortunate: that the Miami Heat are an upstanding organization that usually don't even associate with people that they think are not, you know, Heat people. And
yeah, but they've had a pretty bad run of stuff. And yeah. I'm not blaming anybody, but let's go over what the Heat have had this over the last 3 years, 3-4 years. We've had Terry Rozier arrested on a federal investigation for gambling. We've had a building named after one of the biggest crypto scandals ever. They had a heist of memorabilia of all of their of stuff that was for a museum. A heist. I think they also had like a they hired like a Kings executive who was also stealing from people. It had nothing to do with them, but they hired him when he was getting caught. I think I had that right. If I don't, I
yeah, that was yeah, I remember.
And then also their star player quit on the team.
Well,
that's an insane run.
I would
for an organization that likes to say as buttoned up as anybody, doesn't like anything right. getting out, has the same people who have worked there for decades. People always joke that they're the mafia. Like it's you have the Godfather run it. Like you don't go against the family. Mm-hmm. And all of these crazy things have gone around them in the last 2+ years, and these headlines that are just like robbery, gambling, scandal, quitting.
But I would say
just saying it out
like,
loud is
you're probably just
baffling.
Thinking to yourself,
you know, the Heat. There's only two of them that really bother them, this and Jimmy. The other stuff has nothing to do with what's going on the court, and they can always separate that stuff. But when it hits closer to home, on the basketball court, like the drama with Jimmy last year, that was after the start of the drama with Terry Rozier.
Oh, yeah. I was also reminded, don't forget about the McGregor incident. Yeah. That's another thing.
How can we forget that one?
Just think about all of that stuff that has been around that building. And you know that they're just like, this is just not how we typically operate. And it has been like all of the other stuff. You're right. Like only two of them have really affected
right.
basketball.
Because that's what they.
But there's a lot of other great people who don't just do basketball there that I just imagine are just like you have. It has to
oh,
be
I
like
could have, yeah.
You're driving. You probably are like getting into your car in the garage under the building and screaming just because
right.
of all the craziness that has gone on
right.
around there.
It's like. Why us? Like, what are we doing?
It's a wild time right now, but yeah, it is really really. And then Schmeathan says, "Don't forget the worst of all, drafting Precious over Maxi." Maxi was good last night. Did you see their rookie Edgecombe?
Good.
Oh my God! Yeah, he had like the biggest. He had like the biggest scoring debut since Wilt or something like that.
What?
Yeah.
I mean. Didn't who had Wimby had the most for opening day for the Spurs. He was 40 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
Shangoon had 40 or 37 or 38. What'd the kid have from
I think he had 37. I think Edgecombe had 37.
Jeez. So, yeah.
Really crazy. The Heat yesterday, they we'll get into more of the Terry Rozier stuff, but that's what it is at this hour. If we get any more updates, we'll let you know.
They're breaking in the statue also.
Yeah. Well, the statue's not their fault. That Dwayne Wade likes it. Mickey said D Wade likes it, so it was his choice.
I mean,
they didn't make the statue. Dude, Dwayne Wade did.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question.
They just bought the statue.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
Your wife ever gave you something,
mm-hmm.
and you say, "Oh yeah, I like it," because, mm-hmm. because, but it's the thought.
But he literally was like in the building, like looking at the sculpture. He said,
right.
"It looks different in clay than it does in brass," you know, and they had to do it differently because of the atmosphere here. And it has angles. I keep telling you people, it has angles.
What do you mean they have to do it differently?
Because of the atmosphere, because of like the ocean and the humidity that we have. So they had to like do, I guess, the protections on it, like make it look a little bit more rigid.
Oh, what does that got to do with all the wrinkles on his face?
It has angles, dude. I keep telling you this. It has angles.
It has angles.
It has angles.
We all have angles.
It has angles.
We all have angles.
It has angles.
We all have angles.
Telling you. So the Heat lose last night. I already
3 minutes of the game.
Well, I thought of you immediately because there was a point in the middle of the fourth quarter, and I knew immediately as this happened, I'm like, this is gonna they almost got away with it. They almost got away with it. But I knew immediately as this happened, Spo had no tolerance last night for Jovic and Ware and Goga Batadze. First off, early on, he gets a little tip out. I think it ends up in a Da Silva bucket. And Spo calls timeout immediately. You knew Ware was never going to see the floor again. That was right. With 9 minutes left. Comes back, puts in Jovic. And Jovic gets beat for a rebound by, I think it was Carter. Spo yanks him
so
out.
So he gets smaller,
puts
though.
In Jaime Jaquez Jr.
But that's my, like.
And I'm just sitting here.
You can't go smaller.
I'm like sitting here, Leroy, and I'm like, so we're doing this again. We're going to have Bam as the only guy over 6'8 on the floor. And what do they lose on? What really got, you know, what was the dagger? Was an offensive rebound by Wendell Carter, who just threw Bam away. And Bam did not have a good fourth quarter.
Can you just, like, but at what point, you know, you need the length. Just yell at him. Coach him up.
I don't know.
Like, instead of getting frustrated in game one.
I know.
Game one. It looked like grown men playing with ants.
I know.
Their point guard is the same size as Bam. What do you think it's going to look like when you get closer to the basket?
Well, I just don't know how Bam is supposed to go out there. You want him to either guard Banchero or Franz Wagner, but also have to deal with Wendell Carter to get rebounds.
And then with all the switching, I'm just like seeing Davion on Banchero's belly button.
I just...
Like, what are we doing?
I don't know.
So, like... But,
I don't know.
But,
I don't have good answers. I thought,
no, but it's game one.
I know.
If you're showing your frustration like that after game one, so now they're going to play basketball this way. Every time I make a mistake, I'm going to look to the sideline because Spo's going to take me out. You can't play like that.
And look, Jaime had a good game. I just want to say that. Jaime had a really good game. But in that situation, okay, what are the odds you're going to Jaime Jaquez for buckets – and Jaime's going to go get you a rebound over one of those dudes. Like,
none.
Not great. And dude, they're 21 and 22. Are you ever going to let them work through this?
No, that's
ever. I found that frustrating yesterday.
I would have did it last year, so we were over this year. Right? Like, I don't, man.
Luis goes, Spo's like, I love Bane with 0 points in the fourth. I hate Ware.
Hey, so by the way, how many points did Bane have?
23.
See?
He had a good game. You know, but my point stands. What did Norman Powell have?
Oh. Ball.
28.
Oh, my goodness. And here's what I hate about the NBA. If one guy goes 4 for 5, it's not a green light for everybody to shoot the three. And that's what it seems like. Oh, we making them today.
And didn't have a problem with the shots. Wiggins had a great Wiggins and Mitchell both had great looks.
Yeah.
And they were hitting.
No, I know.
I didn't have a problem with them going for the threes, but the rebound, I mean, the ones that were killer were Bam. Bam had an awful fourth quarter. He was 0-for-5. He missed.
And
he
do
missed,
you think that has to do
three
with
him?
You have him banging with those bodies inside?
Perhaps.
I mean, because guess what? I have never seen a basketball team when it's time to go get the layup get swallowed up by a whole entire team. Mm-hmm. If you could get the rebound, you'd have a ton of fast break opportunities because they were just going to get offensive rebounds because, hey, we're taller.
Yeah.
No, and that's what happened.
It was frustrating.
2 and 3 and 4 tries. Like
I just don't understand, like, with Spo, right? He's a legend. Okay, everybody knows his credentials.
Well, nobody, right? Listen.
I just want to say this.
You know what? You can have a complaint without having to get somebody's bona fides beforehand.
Here's my complaint. For Spo and Bam, okay? You guys have now gone winless to start the regular season, a winless preseason. You got swept in the playoffs. So we haven't tasted victory since the play-in. You were the worst fourth quarter team in the world last year. And yesterday went just as on par with everything else. Tremendous game, great back and forth. Offense was humming, sharing the ball, outlet passes. Great job. Fourth quarter, squeaky cheeks. And your solution was a bunch of 6'5 guys against one of the biggest teams in the league. When are we going to do something different? When?
Yell at them. Yell at your tall guys. Because guess what? They got something nobody else on your team has. Length.
Kalil had a bad first stint. He had a good second stint. Like, that's what young guys are going to do. We going to ride the wave, baby? Or no, just never. You're going to look around the room and be like, you know what the solution is here today? Jaime at the 4.
I couldn't believe how small we were. I couldn't believe.
Like, they had to be howling. They're like, look how tiny.
Right? Like. You know what I kept saying?
And Davion.
Every time I saw Davion Banchero, I go, Miles in the house.
And Davion's, and Davion's a dog. He had such a good game. And Davion, even afterwards, was like, I got to have that rebound. I'm like, you're not even 6 foot.
Right.
But God,
that's what he's supposed to say.
Bless his heart. Hey, Tua, take notes.
That's what he's supposed to say.
Take notes, Tua.
That's it.
But bless his heart. But what are we doing? Just like what? In the hell are we doing?
Right.
You can't keep doing that. Okay, maybe if this was Memphis in a couple days and their tallest guy's Jaren Jackson, okay, fine. That team? You should be playing all three of them.
Just seeing them walk on the floor and seeing Davion and Jaime and Bam, who else did they have? On the floor. Oh, and Powell. And look, Powell's big for the position he plays, but if he put one foot in the paint, he becomes a tiny.
And the thing is, it's crazy. And he's going to look back at this stubborn man is going to look at this and he goes, almost got away with it. We made three. We made it. We would have won, baby. Because he's right. Like, they did have a lot of leak out rebounds. They had a lot of ones that, that one ended with Powell.
And wait,
that was kind of lucky.
One more.
What's up?
Basketball, what's the first thing you do when you get on the court to warm up?
Shoot.
Layup line.
Yeah.
Why can't this team make layups?
Oh. They were.
they were batting the ball.
They were.
Like, what?
Oh, the turnovers were a killer.
They make 3 threes and miss 2 3-bunnies. I'm like, what are we doing?
And the thing with Bam that was annoying is Bam had such a great first half. He was aggressive. He got Carter in foul trouble immediately.
Right.
He's cooking his ass. And then it's just like, meh. All right.
That's what I don't understand. Don't you have to feed the hot hand?
What are we doing?
Right.
All right. Take a break. Back after this.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life.
Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.